What is good, all the Lions fans? We are in divisional weekend now. I don't think I was going to be able to say this, but we are here. Now, last time Tyler wasn't here because Walter took his spot for the day. And then the post-game pod, Tyler, I don't know if you heard about what happened, okay? Post-game pod, I left the link that I give you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I put it in the comments. That was the worst idea I've ever had in my entire life.
Do you have people hopping on like crazy or what?
Well, I had a couple people hop on, and there was one person that hopped on at the end, and I had Avery Giovanni on there, Spirit of Detroit podcast. I had him on there, and then I was like, oh, there's a guy named Jason that's going to come into the podcast. Awesome. Like, it's like kind of like a caller-driven radio, you know?
Yeah.
You're just talking shit. Then he turns the camera on. It was a dude doing a dirty deed, you know?
No.
Yeah, so I had to take it off Facebook so we didn't get strike or whatever. I took it off YouTube. I took it off all my pages that it was on. I was like, holy shit.
More of that, huh?
So no more adding people in the comments. That is not going to happen anymore. That was a rookie mistake. I didn't think that would actually happen.
Wow.
But like, some dude was a little bit too happy that the Lions won a wild card game.
Man, weird people out there, man. Holy cow.
I'm telling you right now, dude, if I could see Avery's face, because he wasn't on camera, I would have, you should have heard him. He's like, what the fuck? I'm like, oh my God, dude. What the hell? I'll send you the video.
Please don't.
Unbelievable. No, you just gotta look at my face. Like, I thought, like, we had some good people that came on. And then, like, next thing you know, like, I'm kind of in the tank anyways. Like, I just drank, like, 11 beers because I bought a 12-pack of the Big League Brew, the Spittin' Chicklets Brew. I was like, hell yeah. Like, fucking, we're going to watch a game where the Rams are playing the Lions. Like, I'm going to need this. I'm going to need all this alcohol I can get. And I got more coming. But I think I'm just going to stick to beer or else I'm going to be puking because it's going to be stressful as hell. I drank 11 beers, so I was half in the tank, and then this guy comes up, and my buzz was gone.
Right.
Was so pissed, dude. So pissed, because we were having a great conversation, but...
Yeah, that's tough, man. Well,
Tyler's back.
Yeah, hey. Let's go Lions, baby. It's my leftover New Year's celebration equipment here. Man, what a freaking game, dude. One-point game down to the wire, man. That was a lot of fun, man. I am so freaking happy. I could not believe it.
You know, the thing that shocked me about that game, though, Tyler and I, I'm kind of interested to hear your opinions, but me and Avery were talking about it post-game that, you know, the one thing that the Lions did so effing good that was not surprising, but it was just like what they did was incredible, because you hold a team 0 for 3 in the red zone, that's pretty effing good. I don't care who you are. And that was the difference in the game. And then what do you know? Michael Badgley, 50-yard field goal. Like, you're like, what the hell?
And you don't see Dan Campbell trusting Badgley in times like that much, but you know what? It was a little bit – you didn't want to go for it because you're, like, right at the – you know, just right at the 50 almost. It was about a, what, 55-yard field goal, 54?
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, I was happy to see him have confidence in him, and the dude freaking nailed it, dude. And looking at his stats, like, that dude from beyond 50 was, like, 6 for 14. I'm like, oh, no.
No, it kind of made me quiver, like, oh, no, this is where it's going to get bad. And then, like, he made that field goal, and I was like, holy shit, he booted that ball.
Yeah.
So that was amazing to see. And just to, hold the Rams 0 for 3 in the red zone was awesome.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the afterwards about the Rams fans, you know, talking all this crap about how Kirby Joseph's hit was dirty or whatever.
Well, if you remember against the Vikings, he hit Jefferson high and he got flagged and penalized and fined. So, I mean, what are you supposed to do? You know, this isn't flag football.
Well, I laughed because there was this one Rams fan that I kept going to blows with because, number one, he looked goofy as hell with his black trim glasses. Like, whatever, dude. Like, this guy's a total goofball. And then he was, you know, he was one of those guys that was saying, you know, I got 20,000 followers on my Twitter. And I'm like, bro, I don't care how many followers you have. You're an idiot. Like, truly, like, there's a lot of people that have followers on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, and they're morons. So that's all it comes down to. But yeah, that game was so freaking, it was stressful, but at the same time, like the Lions, the lead they got out to, the offense, the way that they played, it was freaking great. I mean, I just there's some things that we could obviously get better at, but you're not going to be perfect in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. I mean, you know, just watching the game, it was just, like I said, it was a lot of fun. It was high energy. It was fun to watch. You know, I thought Kirby, you know, played a great game. Our secondary looked good. We were giving up a lot of yards, but the cool thing about that, like you said, is we're shutting down the red zone, so we weren't giving up touchdowns. We were giving up a lot of yards, though. But right. they're a pretty high potent offense when it comes to yardage. I mean, they Puka Nacua, you know, he led the all rookies ever. You know, he had the rookie record for most receptions and most yards. Obviously, Cooper Kupp is, you know, the last few years, you know, elite receiver. Tyler Higbee is, you know, typically, you know, pretty average to decent. And Matt Stafford's slinging that thing, dude. He's got a cannon. He was making crazy throws. He was changing his arm angle. They were playing well. But you know what? It's kind of vibe was like, look, we'll tag off. We just don't want to give up the big play. Although they were giving up big plays, they were keeping them out of the freaking end zone. And that is the most important thing, because the end zone is where you get points. So, hey, you know, if that you're just focused on getting them away from crossing that white line, then, you know, you got the job done and it is what it is. And here we are, man, on to round two.
E. Kenneth says something. First half was fun. Second half was stress. I feel that to the bone. You know, the funny part about it is Tyler, the Lions, I don't care about them giving up yards. I truly don't.
As long as they didn't score, you know, hey.
I mean, if you're not the defense right now where you can just shut teams down, and then the playoffs, it literally comes down to being kind of like protecting your end zone. So I don't think that the Lions going and you know, give them all the yards that they've given up. They've given up 20 points pretty much per game since Thanksgiving. So, I mean, even going back to Thanksgiving. So, look, is this defense perfect? No. Is there any defense that's absolutely perfect in the NFL right now? Also, no.
Well, if you have a high power offense, you can kind of go the route of like, hey, you know, a good defense is a stronger offense.
Well, I mean, I think of it like
method, baby.
I think of it like this. If you can run the ball, you can play good defense.
Yeah.
You keep your defense off the field. You can take time of possession. I think that's what's going to happen. But this is a team right now that I think what they're doing the best way is the red zone defense is obviously one of them. But the second thing is they are playing at a high level on the offensive end. And it's pretty fun to watch. And look, we're going to get into the Tampa Bay game and talk about that. But I felt like the Rams were the most dangerous team like coming in. Them and the Packers, but I felt like the Packers didn't match up with us as well as the Rams did. So I'm glad we got that, because the Packers took care of business against the Cowboys. So that was good. But all in all, like it was a pretty damn good Sunday watching football.
Yeah, thankful. You know, you can kind of almost be thankful for that blown call against the Cowboys, because it's like, dude, I didn't want to go up against the Packers how they were playing that first round. I mean, they put up almost 50 on Dallas, and Dallas is like a top five defense by DVOA. So, yeah. You know, hey, they did their thing. They had a lot of momentum. I'd rather it be them than us. And now we got a pretty favorable matchup here the second round. But I also, you know, hey, it's an NFL team, and you can't take that as a guaranteed win, and you got to be careful, and you got to come to play ball, because the Tampa Bay Bucks, man, they're doing their thing too. I mean, they've got a really good defense. They're averaging 15.3 points per game given up on defense, yep. Which again, for top 10. And they, you know, they've got a couple playmakers on the, you know, on the offensive side of the ball. They got Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, this new dude, David Moore, that's kind of popped up out of nowhere. I mean, they've got some ballers, Trey Palmer, you know, they've got speed. It's always scared when you're playing a team that's got nothing to lose, because they're just playing free. They weren't even supposed to be in the damn playoffs, let alone win a playoff game.
Well, I will be there with my cousin who's in the comments, you know, Chip. He's, you know, James. And I will be there. So we're going to have great tickets. This is exactly where we're going to be. So if you're going to the game, let me know if you're going to the game. This is exactly where we'll probably be. But I'm just, you know, here's what I'm going to say about the Bucks, real quick. I know people think the Bucks are hot as hell right now, and I know that people think that the Bucks could be hard. And I was listening to Walter talk about the Bucks. I was listening to Ashante talk about the Bucks, and I'm gonna be totally honest with you. The Bucks are trash. They're not a good team. Like I know people want to take it all. Like I'm gonna be seriously with you right now. They're not a good team. I know what they did to the Eagles. I know what they did to the Eagles. They beat Eagles the shit are also out.
A bad team.
But the Eagles quit. Nick Sirianni like lost the locker room. So I don't take anything like that. This is the same team that won 9-0 against the Carolina Panthers in the last game of the season. For people to tell me that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are some wagon and I got to be stressed out about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, no. The team I feared the most coming into the playoffs was the LA Rams and the Green Bay Packers. And I was proven right about the LA, the Green Bay Packers. And I was proven right about the LA Rams because I think the Rams are a tough, they're a tough team. There's mismatches that you can find with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, I mean, let's just look on the offensive line. Their guard, Cody Mouch or whatever, he's given up like 5 sacks. Their right tackle, which Hutch is going to line up against him, he's given up 7 sacks. Look, I don't care what, if people, you know, I know what they did at Green Bay late in the season, but the fact of the matter is this: Baker Mayfield is still Baker Mayfield. This team is obviously they got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and all that stuff, but the one thing they struggle with is the one thing the Detroit Lions are really freaking good at: running the ball, and they're really physical on the offensive line. The Lions are, and I look at this team, and if they're gonna blitz Jared Goff, I'm gonna tell you right now, they're going to be in for a horrible day because these are Jared Goff's numbers against the blitz. 37.9% of dropbacks. That's fourth in the NFL. So he's been blitzed a lot. Completions is second in the NFL with 155. He's attempted 240, which is second in the NFL. The completion percentage is 64.6. That's eighth best in the NFL. Yards are 1,800, first in the NFL. Touchdowns, second in the NFL. 13 pressure turned into a sack. He's seventh best in the NFL. And then first downs, he's second in the NFL and first downs with 98. If Tampa Bay wants to blitz Jared Goff all they want, they're going to be in for a rotten day because the one thing that this mismatch is going to be is if Tampa Bay blitzes and they give a little bit of room to Amon-Ra, to Josh Reynolds, to J-Mo, it's going to be a horrible day for him. It's going to be a horrible day for him. Because that's the one thing that they cannot do to Jared Goff, because Jared Goff is an elite quarterback against the blitz, one of the best.
Yeah, and ironically, Baker Mayfield is pretty bad against the blitz. So it'll be fun. Hopefully, if our defensive line can, you know, get home and we can, you know, we're able to, you know, get to the quarterback. I see a lot of, I mean, Mayfield fan coming out of college just because I thought that, you know, I was excited to see what the Browns could do. You know, they were kind of, everybody was kind of rooting for them to kind of get out of the cellar like we were. And so we kind of feel their pain with those, with that 0-16 season. You know, I was excited to see what they could do. But you know what? Something I have over after watching Baker Mayfield throughout his career, something he does struggle with is when he does get pressure and gets blitzed, sometimes he starts to panic and he folds. So as long as we're going, you know, quarterback, they don't have a great run game, and we're amazing against the run. So it's just pretty much gonna be the pass game. Our pass defense versus their pass offense, and as long as we're getting pressure of the quarterback, we should be. You know, so I mean, I'm not necessarily scared about this team at all either. I just, you know, you want the team to have the mindset of, hey, it's playoff football. Anything can happen any given Sunday. You know, and not take an easy ride because, you know, hey, we all, you know, last year said something about Carolina being able to whoop them. We were favored by 13.5 points, and they came and just beat the living piss out of us. So you can't.
This is not Carolina though. Like I get you. I know people are trying to like, I know people are trying to do like, we got someone, Trent, saying, let's not overlook them. First of all, we're not on the team. We can't overlook them, bro. We cannot overlook the Buccaneers. We are not playing. Matter of fact, me and Chip, who was in the comments, we're going to be a little bit, you know, sauced up. So we're definitely not playing in the game. That's number one. So the fans can overlook all they want. I don't care. That's not our job. I know that Dan Campbell, I know that all that team, they're going to be focused and ready to go and think that the Buccaneers are some great team. But talent on talent wins. And the talent that the Lions have compared to the talent that the Buccaneers have and the mismatches that they have, like my cousin says, Baker is going to be on his ass most of the game. I guarantee you, because there's someone that's coming back, Mr. Tyler. He's coming back, and it's the guy that has, like, this incredible bend. And we know who it is. It is Mr. James Houston, you know, the edge rusher, the guy extraordinaire. You know, this is the guy that we needed to come back. If James Houston is just half of what he was late in the year, I'm telling you right now, these tackles that the Bucs have, aside from Tristan Wirfs, there's not really a guy on that offensive line that I fear. There's not. There's just not. Their guard and their tackle on the right side are awful. And they've been running the ball pretty good. But if you look at the schedule, look who they played. Like, I know they've won 5 out of 6 coming in. But look who they played. You play against the NFC. When you play against the NFC South, you should win 5 out of 6 no matter what. The Falcons suck. Yeah. The Saints suck. And the Panthers suck. This division was gifted to the Buccaneers, and they almost lost it anyways. So I'm not. Yeah. I'm not fearing this game at all. It's the Lions could only beat themselves. That's my philosophy going in. The only way the Lions lose is if they beat themselves. That's it.
And I think that, like, I mean, I would have rather, even though the Eagles have been shit, they have a lot of potential. I would rather have had the Bucs than the Eagles. I'll tell you that, just because, you know, a team that has potential to be great, even if they're in a rut, can figure it out and can explode on you. I'm not really worried about the Bucs. I'm happy we got them over the Eagles for sure. Even though the Eagles have been slumping, either way, I wasn't really worried. You know, I think, you know, as long as we got our sights forward, we're fingers crossed, hoping for a Packers W, hoping for an upset. Man, could you imagine division rivals in the NFC Championship?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, this division is going to be one of the top divisions in football pretty soon. So you better, if you're a Lions fan, you better buckle up those straps, because I'm telling you, the Bears and the Packers are going to be a pain in the ass for the next couple of years. I mean, unless the Bears go full Bears and they just get rid of Fields, that'd be the stupidest thing they can do, because he's not the problem. And if they go draft Caleb Williams and think that Caleb Williams is going to be greater around that offensive line, they're stupid as hell. But Jordan Love's been playing fantastic. But, you know, you just said something about playing the Eagles or the Bucs, right? And I look at the Eagles and the Bucs, and I go, which team would I rather play? Well, I know both these teams have a championship DNA. They both have players that won championships at Super Bowls. But when I look at the Eagles, I look at that team and I go, yes, yeah, not really a team I really want to play, because at any moment they could just snap out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, it's like Crypt Keeper. Like, if they get one thing to happen their way, they got a good offensive line, they got a good defensive line. Although Matt Patricia ruined that whole defense. That defense was decent, and Matt Patricia makes it look like a bunch of dodo birds, but that's the way it goes. And I would have loved to see Matt Patricia, but I wouldn't have loved to see the Eagles offense. You know, I feel like AJ Brown and Devontae Smith are more of a problem in Dallas Goedert than Kate Otten, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin. That's just my philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're gonna get, you know, I'm sure we'll give up some yards, we'll give up some plays. But you know, we shouldn't, I'm not too, you know, like I said, I'm not too worried about it, but I'm just excited, man. The great part is that we get to host another playoff game. And we got a lot of guys, like, Max Ray said, got a lot of guys coming back at full health. We necessarily have many, like, big injuries right now, which is awesome. Everybody's getting healthy at the right time. Our offensive line is getting healthy. Our defensive line is getting more healthy. You know, getting James Houston back is huge. You know, Cam Sutton is able to hold it down as best as he can against that one side. And then, you know, you're able to get plays from, you know, Vildor and, you know, some of that secondary. The fact that we have an overabundance of really, really talent is definitely helping, making up for that. Yeah. And like Brian Branch in the nickel, he's been absolutely lights out. He's been killing it.
Yep.
CJ, you know, Kirby. Yep. I mean, we've got like our outside of our corners, our secondary D's have just been absolutely balls to the walls, lights out, and they've been freaking killing it, man. So, hey, I'd rather have a lot of really, really great safeties and like less good blunted corners than the other way around, because safeties are the ones that are going to be able to help you over the top and in the middle. And I think that, you know, by having such an elevated safety room right now, it's going to help make up the difference for our lack of talent on the cornerback position.
Well, I thought it was interesting because I'm trying to pull it up right now, but the Pro Football Focus, it gives me a good idea of what they were trying to run. But I know you were kind of you were on the pod last week, but like I was saying that I was marveled at the way Aaron Glenn was using his safeties. So for instance, there was what was it? It was the Minnesota game. He put Ifeatu Melifonwu in the cornerback position, and he did pretty damn good. I'm going to look at it right now. Hold up.
Yeah, if he came in as a corner, so, I mean, that was a smart move.
Yeah. So this time around, trying to find it, but, yeah, just, yeah, go on.
No, yeah, I was just saying, you know, if he having that, you know, that cornerback experience coming in out of college from, you know, being a cornerback and playing cornerback at Syracuse and then, you know, being number two as safety, and then back to corner. Now he kind of knows both positions. And if he seems like he plays, you know, he plays pretty smart. He's a pretty smart player. So the fact that he has knowledge from both of those positions really helps out. And he's a big oversized corner too. I think he's three. So it's nice to have that height at the cornerback position. But I, you know, hopefully we can, like I said, hopefully it can be enough to carry us through. But I do know once the draft hits, cornerback and defensive line are going to be at the top of our list. So, we'll be excited to see what goes there.
It'll be interesting. So I put in there, Malafonwu didn't play a lot of cornerback last game. Kirby did pretty damn well for the most part. One thing I could say is that Malafonwu's passing grade and coverage was really good. It was the top on the team, which doesn't really say much because this team struggles in pass coverage. But what I can say is when you got guys back there that can make a play at any given moment, that's what you need. And I know people want to look at the yards that they're giving up, and I really don't care about the yards that they're giving up because at the end of the day, it's points that matter. You don't win games with yards. You know, for a long time, I think people – we had Stafford here, right? And he threw for 5,000 yards. And guess what you won? Nothing. Nothing. You had Calvin Johnson break the receiving record. Guess what you won? Nothing. You know, you've had record performances of getting yards and nothing happened. So at the end of the day, yards don't matter and points do. And I always tell people this, but people don't want to freaking listen because they're dumb and they're stupid. Yards don't matter. Points do. Because at the end of the day, you can give up 700 yards. 21 points, and guess what? If you win 23-21, guess what? No one's seeing nothing.
Yeah, I mean it's tough, man. You know, I think the main thing is typically if teams are having a ton of yards, they are scoring a lot. But like you kind of said, Rams were 0-3 in the red zone. We do have a really good red zone, at least as of late. I don't know how well that was, you know, throughout the regular season, but I don't think it was necessarily horrible. You know, like I said, just the fact of they get really tough, they get really aggressive. And, you know, when the field is shortened up, hey, if they come down and they kick, they end up getting a field goal or they end up going for it and missing it and we get the ball back and we march it back down. As long as we're in control of the game, as long as our offense can win time of possession, we're in control of the game, which especially at home, we do a great job of keep controlling the pace. You know, I would still like to see something that's been a big problem with us for the whole year, and me and you have talked about it plenty of times, is getting out of halftime and freaking adjusting, dude. Blowing their asses out at halftime, and we come in the third quarter, and we just stall out. Three and outs in a row. Ben Johnson's sitting there with his thumb in his ass, like, after halftime. Like, you got to be able to adjust more, man. this, albeit it's the Bucks, and there shouldn't be many adjustments we have to make. If we want to be serious against the 49ers, we have to learn how to freaking adjust our game plan at halftime, because it's been a common theme this year. We've been beating the shit out of teams in the first half, and the second half comes around, and all of a sudden we're like, we freaking forgot how to play football. We don't know what the hell happened, because they're adjusting and we're not. And that's something that I know it's just probably from a lot of, like, inexperience. You know, our coordinators and our coaches are fairly young, new to this in terms of, like, you know, the amount of years some of these guys have in the league that we're playing, you know, some of the experience that we're going up against. But, you know, I just want to see Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn be able to really put together some smart adjustments so we can continue to, like, keep the foot on the gas.
Well, Aaron Glenn made adjustments, and I've noticed that Aaron Glenn's made a lot of adjustments as of late.
Yeah, and Glenn's been doing a lot better lately. I'll give you that, man.
But Ben Johnson, the thing about the third quarter is, look, it hasn't came back to haunt you, but at some point it will. And hopefully not for this game, or hopefully not for the NFC Championship, or hopefully not, you know, maybe till next season. But the fact of the matter is that Ben Johnson, if he really wants to get a head coaching job, you can't come out of the half flat like that. And you can't come out of half running for 40 yards. It's just not – not what I expect. And I talk about this all the time, Tyler, and people – you know, you're one of them. You're one of those people. Just saying. That you get on Aaron Glenn for everything. Like, everyone gets on Aaron Glenn and they go, oh, my God, this guy's a shitty defensive coordinator. But the fact of the matter is, the guy who has the most talent – the most talent on the team, bar none. You can't even deny that Ben Johnson has the most overwhelming talent, maybe besides special teams, okay, because Jack Fox is a stud. But offense is the most talented team, part of the team. And guess what? There's no excuse for them to come out flat in the third quarter. There is absolutely no excuse. You know, with Aaron Glenn, I could say this. He's worked with a lot of spare parts this year. If we're going to be completely honest, we thought that James Houston would be here. Guess what? He hasn't been here. We thought that Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was going to be here. Guess what? He hasn't been here until recently.
Mosley.
We thought Mosley was going to be, oh, two snaps in, he's gone. You know, we thought Romeo Okwara or Charles Harris would resurrect their whole career. No, they've been, you know, largely retirement home people.
Kaminsky, Pascal, Levi.
We paid Kaminsky. We paid Levi. You know, we gave Levi another chance. Kaminsky. Well, Kaminsky's been pretty decent. His tackling's been pretty good. But the reason that this defense has been doing pretty good is because of the rookies that you drafted and the development of Fatu Melifanwu. And that's literally been the reason for the success. That's it. That's literally it. And for people to say that, like, they blame Aaron Glenn, I get why you blame Aaron Glenn. But at the same time, put the shoe on the other foot and look at Ben Johnson and the adjustments that he's not making after halftime. There's no excuse in every freaking way. There's no excuse for the Detroit Lions to be scoreless in the third quarter. None. None.
Yeah, I agree.
He is lucky. He's very lucky. I'm going to tell you this right now. He's very lucky that he is a quarterback that's, like, not going to, like, force it. You know, he's not going to force a bad throw. Because if he had a guy like, let's say he had Josh Allen. If Josh Allen went scoreless in the third quarter.
Matthew Stafford.
I mean, look, that's just the reality of the situation. Like, he's lucky that he has the team that he has. And he's not doing anything with it. So, over the next couple weeks, this is going to be the pay or break time. And I haven't had a great opinion on Ben Johnson anyways. You know what I've been saying. I like Ben Johnson as, you know, a guy that he does pretty well. But in the third quarter, in the second half, that's what matters the most in football, period. And when you have as much talent as the Detroit Lions do on offense, the offensive line that you have, the running backs that you have, the wide receivers that you have, the tight end that you have, no excuse. None.
And I think the point of this that people could take, too, it's not that Ben Johnson's a bad coordinator. It's that he gets put on this pedestal that he's some god, and I don't think that's the truth. You know what I mean? Like, he's serviceable. He's good. There are games where I'm like, duh, cool play. That was awesome. That was a pretty good scheme. That was a good play.
Right.
But I also have times where I'm like, oh, fourth and three, and we're on a delay. Okay. Yeah, that doesn't make much sense. Hey, we're going to come out of the third quarter and we're going to run a blast up the middle, you know, seven, go three and out twice in a row. That's our starting script. Okay, that's a little odd. You know, there's just things that you're like, okay, what the hell? And I will, what I try to do, and I know you like to bring this up about the Aaron Glenn thing, I really do try. who the F is Alalu? I don't know.
Okay. Alalu is the defensive tackle that we signed from the scrap heap. He's also in his 30s. That hasn't panned out either. That's how you know your defense is working with spare parts. Okay, we signed a guy who literally was on the couch a couple weeks ago. There you go.
But I try my best to do, I do try my best to let people like change my opinion on them, revive some of the things that like I maybe was like discrediting them for. Like my job, like, yeah, I'm a football fan. Like my job, I'm a Lions fan. Like my job, and it's not even a job, my hobby with doing this podcast is to like analyze, be critical, like see, yeah, you know, like try to form opinions, look and see what they're doing. And I'm allowed to, and I've tried to allow myself, I'm not going to die on this hill that somebody is bad or somebody is good and always will be good. And this is kind of the perfect storm for that, because we all were like Ben Johnson, oh my god, like he can never leave, to and like, hey, like F Aaron Glenn, screw Aaron Glenn, let's get him out of here. Now you're kind of like, hey, Glenn's been adjusting and making adjustments and changing and earning his job and like allowing like our defense to play as best they can, and now he seems to be the hot candidate for these coaching gigs. And it seems like every week all teams and all these people on Twitter and all the people that don't follow the Lions are like, yeah, please, like, I'd love Ben Johnson. I think Ben Johnson, being around Dan Campbell, like, he has head coach material probably. He could probably do a decent job. But, like this godsend heaven, like, god of a coordinator that we're just not absolutely allowed, like, we can't afford to lose, because – every, I will say 85% of the games that I have watched this year, which is all of them, 85% of the damn time, this dude comes out in the second half and just throws down a freaking clunker for his game plan. Like, and it seems like every week, it's not even like some weeks it's really good, some weeks it's really bad. It's like every single week, shit, and he becomes so predictable, and it's really frustrating. And it's just to the point where it's like, are you actually trying to be different and to be innovative, or are you just hoping that the more you do things, you know, like eventually it'll break? Like, I had a football coach in high school do that, like games or anything, but I had a coach that was like, hey, let's run a 42 blast up the gut four times in a row. If that doesn't work, guess what? We're going to do it again. And we're going to do it again. We're going to do it again. And at some point, we're going to wear them down and it's going to work. That's not how it works. Well, they know what the hell you're going to do. You can't run the same shit over and over and over and over and over. Like, you have to get creative. You have to use your speed. Dude, you got Khalif Raymond, who is one of the biggest separation receivers in the league. I know he missed last game, but oh, you've got Amon-Ra. You've got Laporta. You've got Gibbs. Like you said, we have probably the most talented offense in the entire league. If you can't get creative and find a way to get the ball in the playmaker's hands and do something special, and you're coming out and throwing down shitters at the second half every game, then – dude, please see your way out if you can't adjust. Like, holy shit. Rant over. I'm just saying, like, look, man, if we want to be serious against serious teams, you have to adjust, because they're going into the freaking locker room at halftime going, what the hell do we need to do to stop this, this, and that? And they make adjustments. And if you want to be a serious team in a serious league, you have to adjust, and you have to do it quick.
Yeah, I'm going to say this. You know, Ben Johnson is, you know, well as he has done, the one issue that I have with Ben Johnson, and I've had this issue for a while, is there's times where he gets too predictable. And, you know, we talk about it in football all the time. When a team's predictable, it becomes it's impossible to run a great offense, you know? Like, I remember for a while there was a guy in San Francisco that was a little bit predictable. It was Kyle Shanahan, especially in the fourth quarters, and he's gagged away some fourth quarters that he should never have gagged away. You know, when you are not proficient in certain aspects, like the third quarter or the fourth quarter, those will haunt you more than you will ever know. And that's the problem. And I'm pretty sure Dan Campbell sees it. I'm pretty sure, like, you know, other people see it in the organization. You cannot have an offense that talented at all. And let
me say it this way. If a casual fan or just a home dude, and this is no disrespect to my girlfriend because she likes football, but if my freaking girlfriend can sit on the damn couch and tell me what the Lions are going to do for these next play or these next drive, and that happens, you're like, holy shit. If a person who's never really played football before, who's sitting at couch enjoying the game, can predict what you're going to do, you don't think 11 guys and 12 coaches who have been doing this shit for X amount of years can't freaking read you like a book? Like, dude, come on.
Yep.
Come on.
Yeah, that's a problem I have with Ben Johnson, and I've had it with a while. I mean, the fact of the matter is this: Aaron Glenn saved this team from disaster Sunday, like they did. The defense saved the day. When you score 3 points in the second half of a playoff game, most of the time you should lose. Let's be honest. And Aaron Glenn's team held serve, and guess what? You're on to the next round. So, Ben Johnson, if you want a head coaching job, it's time to wise up and get up, because that whole third quarter, that second half, that was garbage. That was total garbage. And if you have another game like that, you'll be finding your way on the couch, and I'm going to be telling you that that's the reason why. 3 points in the second half in the playoffs is not going to get it done. And if you go play San Francisco and you score 3 points in the second half, I can tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get your effing ass kicked to a T, because you're not going to be able to stop it. Look, that game when Buffalo played Kansas City, I remember, if you remember, I think a lot of people remember that game. Back and forth. If you don't have an offense, you can't score, you're done. You're done. Yeah. So I am not going to sit here and say, like, I'm not worried about the Buccaneers necessarily. I'm more worried about how the Lions could screw themselves. That's what I'm the most worried about, because you score 3 points in the second half, that's going to come back to haunt you. And let's just say they give up one TD in the red zone. That's the difference too. So for Ben Johnson, it's time to start playing ball. And for God's sake, get the guy the ball. J-Mo needs the ball. Like, get him the ball. Scheme something open.
Yeah.
Get his speed is going to open up so much stuff. Get him the ball. Get Jahmyr Gibbs the ball, you know, in space. Screen. Maybe you do a rollout and you do like a halfback kind of flash. Well, something like that.
What people don't realize is you get J-Mo the ball once in space and he blows up. You're talking about the next several times he's on the field. Amon-Ra and Laporta are going to be like able to work that middle of that field. It opens up a lot for the team. And then if they're sagging back and they're covering everything, boom, Montgomery up the middle or Jahmyr Gibbs on the stretch. Like, it allows everything else to open up. Like, you need big plays and you need big shots. And it just seems like, yeah, Ben Johnson has such an issue with getting the ball into playmakers' hands. Like Herman Moore was saying, like, you know, like, throw him a couple screen passes, like, get him a, you know, once in a while, we'll give him an end around and we'll get him a deep shot. Like, get him the ball.
Here's what happens, okay? A lot of people saw the Eagles' offense last year and they go, man, that was such a great offense. And it was a great offense. It was. The reason it was because they did a couple shot plays with Devontae Smith. And then guess what? It opens A.J. Brown up. It opens Dallas Goedert up. It opens Miles Sanders up. You need fast guys. You need them to get open. And what happens is the defense goes, we gotta settle down and we gotta kind of back up and kind of play like not we're gonna kind of back the bus up.
Yeah, play soft and a little bit.
They're not gonna play press. They're gonna play off the ball, and that's where you can kill teams, because Laporta's gonna kill him. St. Brown's gonna kill him, because J-Mo just got one shot. Think about that Dallas game. If he didn't make that long play for the rest of the game, I literally saw the Cowboys playing off the ball more than they've ever played in the whole season. Why do you think they let the Lions just drive down the field? Because J-Mo was on the field and they had to play deep. That's what they were looking at. I'm pretty sure Dan Quinn was going, he's not beating us deep. He's not beating us deep. He's not beating us deep, like everything in front of you. And that's what the Lions have been playing defensively because they don't have some of the horses that some of these teams have in terms of corner on wide receiver strength. So when I look at this Lions offense, there's no excuse under any circumstance that the Detroit Lions offense should be scoring 3 points in the second half. Like, go to hell.
Yeah, if we have a top five offense, well, I shouldn't say if. I know we have a top five offense, and a top five offense doesn't come out and throw off a damn Marvin Bagley prayer, you know, in your second half. It's just not going to cut it, man.
And we've been saying this all year long about we've been saying this all year long. It still hasn't happened. Well, that's a part of the reason that I've been on Ben Johnson's ass, because he's got to adjust to his talent level. Any great coach will tell you, if they don't have the talent, they can adjust to a certain kind of style. There's no excuse in life.
And I think that Dan Campbell is like, this means so much to him, man, that like, I wouldn't be surprised if he started taking over a little bit more and saying, look, if you're not going to get it together and adjust, then I will. And like, you know, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that wants to choose and like really like take over, but unless he has to. But hey, you know, we might see that a little bit.
I don't think he wants to do that in the playoffs I think he wants Ben to get a job, but I fully believe this is Dan Campbell's offense. It's still the same offense that he ran with when Anthony Lynn got fired. Ben Johnson's just calling the plays, you know.
And I'm pretty sure when Anthony Lynn left, like, look at like the offense elevated a ton and it stayed elevated.
Yeah, because that was Dan Campbell's offense, and that's what he did, and you could see similarities. And look, when you call it offense for Kyle Shanahan, okay, you're still running off Kyle Shanahan's scheme. Mike McDaniel experienced that. The problem with Mike McDaniel is he's not used to not having all those horses. You know, he's not used to having not having Christian McCaffrey in the backfield. He's not used to not having George Kittle as his tight end. You know, that's some of the things that you rely on. Now, these great coordinators, like for Sean McVay, I love Sean McVay as an offensive play caller because he schemes guys open. Like, Puka Nacua being this good, yeah, he's a great player. He's athletic as hell and all that stuff, but McVay schemed a lot of shit up for him in that game, and he made people pay. Brian Branch did a hell of a job on Cooper Kupp all game long. That was one of the best cornerback. That was one of the best players in that game on Sunday, and that's the reason that they won. But the Lions have to scheme up their good players to make plays.
Absolutely.
So Ken Fisher says, you guys are making an excellent point, but the game I watched, Goff on several occasions didn't have time to throw the ball. That's an offensive line coach not adjusting to the pass rush of the second half. Just something to consider. It's just not the offense coordinator or different coaches that we need to work with. See, here's why it's the offensive coordinator. I'm gonna say it again. Because as an offensive coordinator, if you understand, if they're passing, if they're blitzing you, they're getting pass rush, guess what it's time to go to? Quick passes. Because you know what nullifies a good pass rush? Quick passes. You know why we know that? Because in 2014, you know that's all they did against the Detroit Lions, because they knew that pass rush was going to get home and they needed to get the ball out. And for that playoff game against the Cowboys, there was one player in particular that made the playoff run end. It was Terrence Williams, their slot wide receiver. That's why if you're an offensive coordinator and you're a good one, you understand what you can do to nullify pressure.
Z routes, back, you know, throws out of the backfield, you know, screens, quick stuff like that. That's the adjusting stuff that we're kind of like I said, we just got to get better at seeing that in real time too.
He kind of brings up a good point. You know, the TD throw on fourth down, that was Dan Campbell. You know, that was Dan Campbell taking the penalty and yards late in the fourth to push the Rams out of field goal range. Again, I think that was Dan Campbell. And then the Ford Field fans that were at the game, they made the Rams spend two timeouts, and that was critical too.
That was huge.
So if I'm a Lions fan, you did your part. You did your part. Oh, yeah. Now it's time for Ben Johnson. Stafford
has three timeouts at the end of that game. I don't know if we're walking around with the same outcome. I mean, that dude was slinging. And another thing we're talking about, you know, you get the yards. It's not always, you know, it doesn't always mean you're scoring. But if you're going to get a good chunk of yards at the end and you can get a field goal, that could be the difference, man. So, like I said, the fact that they had one timeout left was huge.
If J-Mo goes deep, this is from Roy. If J-Mo goes deep and takes a corner and a safety with him, that leaves a big hole underneath for the other receivers to be open there. That's exactly what I'm saying. Joe Austin says, so it's Dan's fault, I see. No, it's not Dan's fault because Dan is not calling the plays. That's Ben Johnson. It's still Dan Campbell's offense. Ben Johnson's just kind of like, he's like the chef that like didn't really cook the food, but he's kind of acting like a chef because, you know, like, you know, it's like, it's not his recipe, but he's just cooking it to be, you know, whatever. That's what, that's what Ben Johnson is. And Ben Johnson hasn't, that recipe's got to get, it's a little bit, you know, there's some things that he can fix in there. And he's like, nope, send that bitch out. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you bring up a good point too. Like, I mean, you're not, as Dan Campbell, if you're wanting your guys to get promoted and you're wanting to give, you know, the nation to see what you're made of, like, he's not going to publicly come out and be like, I'm taking over now. He's not adjusting enough. It's just not something he's going to do. He's not going to throw his guy like that. You know, you might get into a position where, you know, like kind of how like the Cowboys are, where, hey, you have like, you have an offensive coordinator in Schottenheimer, but like Mike McCarthy's, he's the play caller. He's running the offense. So we might just kind of have a placeholder, you know, if Ben Johnson does leave. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, when I look at the Bucs defense, like their main cog is the passing game. And I think that we can exploit the passing game. You also look at their run game, 95.3 yards against. I mean, whatever. I don't think that they're – I think that, you know, last game I think we ran for 40 yards, but that was because Montgomery and Gibbs were out of the game. So that's what I think. But, yeah, there's Tyler again. But offensively, like, look at this disparity. Look at this disparity. They're 32nd in rushing yards. They are 17th in passing yards. They're 24th in total yards, 20th in points scored. Guys, if you're scared, just look at these stats. I mean, as good as they are defensively, like total yards, 23. They're worse. They're worse in the passing game. They're just about as good as us in the run game. Their points, they hold people. But look at the schedule that they played. Third down, they're 23rd. We're 10th in the league. Like this is a game where if Ben Johnson, I swear to God, I'll be at the game and I'm you know, my cousin's saying they're gonna spend those timeouts all this Sunday. We gotta break the record. But not, the other part about it is, if Ben Johnson's going into this funk in the third quarter again, I swear to God, I will lose my shit. Because number one, this is not a defense that's really like, I don't look at this defense and go, wow, that's a great defense. Wow, no. Guys, if you look at their passing statistics, I actually have it. Hold on. I have it right here. Here it is. Here's what the yards per reception that these corners give up. Izine, which is their bet, you know, one of their better corners, 9.5. Carlton Davis, 15 yards. No, that's Davis. Yeah, Carlton Davis. Zion McCollum, 11.2. Jamel Dean, 13.4. There are advantages that you have against this team. And one of them is getting yards after the catch. And we know who's going to get the most yards after the catch on this team. It's painfully clear. It's going to be Amon-Ra St. Brown. Absolutely. Also, there's only one corner on that team, one corner that's under 60% completion rate against. It's Zion McCollum, the rookie. Jamel Dean's at 69.6. Remember, we wanted to sign him last year. It'd be just as bad as Sutton. Izine is 79.7. So, yeah, he can make a tackle after the catch. That's because he's given up a lot of catches. And then, you know, Carlton Davis, he's given 808 yards in receiving yards, which is more than Cameron Sutton, just so you know. They also missed a lot of tackles in their back end. I mean, the best tackler on their back end is Jamel Dean, 3.8. But McCollum, 11.1. Davis, 15.7. Izine, 13.0. Like, come on.
Was that their missed tackle percentage?
Yeah, that's their missed tackle percentage. So that's pretty high. Like, that's literally high. Like, when you think about it, like, Cameron Sutton, as much as we we bail on his ass all the time. His missed tackle percentage is like 9 something. But
yeah, man, it'll be fun, man, and hopefully, I mean, how cool would it be for you to go and see a playoff ass whooping? That'd be dope, man. It'd be awesome.
That's what I'm hoping for, man. And then Ken Fisher, he reclaims this thing. He says, I guess what I'm trying to say, Ben Johnson likes to run the ball. It sets up play action past a couple series. He tried running the ball in the first 2 downs. Therefore, he was looking at 3rd down and 7 or 8 yards. They're blitzing even a short pass. If you recall, only needed for us for 5 yards, but in 2 wasted series, if I remember right, the 3rd series, he tried passing the ball, ended up being incomplete passes. We got into a rut, and we're unable to divert ourselves up. They scored 3 points in the second half. That's a big rut. That's a rut that's going to send your ass home in a jiffy in the playoffs. There is no ruts. There is no ruts.
Well, and I don't like that. Like it's I don't like that the script seems to be the same every time coming out of half. Hey, run, play action, run, pass, run, play action, run, pass. Like you're gonna have to go out there and be aggressive and say, hey, we're gonna freaking, even though we're trying to maintain the lead, we're trying to like keep the control of the game, we're gonna, what's up, Darcy? We are going to, you know, get creative. We're gonna start throwing the rock. We're gonna make sure our foot on the gas and, you know, just you don't have to turn into like conservative, ultra conservative mode, and put all your settings like you're playing Madden on Madden ultra conservative, and just try to like literally survive the second half. I'm tired of surviving the second half. Let's go out there and whoop their damn ass the second half.
Darcy, we'll invite you next time because Tyler's life is like crazy right now, so. We had to spawn this on at like the last minute, so that's what happened. Which we're doing a pretty damn good job for like a last minute thing.
Absolutely.
How do you guys think Valdor did last game, Tyler? You what do you think? How do you think Valdor did last game?
So I'm Joe's usually really like intricate with these statistics and stuff, so I haven't had to take a look at his stats yet or look at the All-22. I think Valdor is serviceable, but I mean, you're not going to necessarily be able to count on him for any sort of like sustainability at the cornerback position. Like this dude literally was a practice squad guy. He's been playing pretty well for what we picked him up for, and you know, for his like pedigree. I mean, again, the story of the Lions has been, hey, let's get guys who are supposed to be CB4s and CB5s, and we're going to play them as CB1s, 2s, and 3 to try to put something together. So I think, like, in Vildor's defense, he's been playing good for the position that he's been thrusted into, but I wouldn't, like, I'm not going to, like, sit and say, like, he's been fantastic, but, I mean, I've certainly seen worse. Some good, some bad. I mean, he's doing what he can. At this point, like, why not take a look and see what, like, I know Jerry Jacobs has had a shitter the past, you know, end of the season, but like we kind of need all the corners we can get.
He's on IR though, but I would take a shot at Gilmore or someone because this was his stats last game. Okay, just think about how bad this is. 5 targets, so not many. 4 receptions, 101 yards, 25.3 average yards given up.
Yeah,
25.3.
Like you said, so it's tough because the guy's not supposed to even be on a fucking NFL team and he's playing in the playoffs. Like, it's tough.
This is what I'm telling about people with Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn has done a damn good job with the pieces that he has. He's basically working with spare parts and trying to make something happen. And that's why I'm hoping that James Houston could be like could help this team out tremendously with the pass rush. Because if you don't have corners back there, you're going to need a pass rush. And that's the main thing I look at.
Well, and it's hard to – there is no room for grace in the playoffs, but it's hard because you want to, like, be like, hey, man, like, the guy's giving it his best shot. This guy's not even really supposed to necessarily be on an NFL team, and he's out there playing the majority of the snaps in the playoffs. So it's hard to, like, rag on him a ton because, he's probably not even – he's probably not even a CB4 on most 29 teams in the league. You know, so it's hard. But you know, and we have had some good plays out of him. We have had some good weeks out of him. But again, like you said, it's spare parts, dude. That's a CB, that's a practice squad CB that is, you know, getting starting reps just because we're out of guys. I mean, you're just hoping that he can make a play if it's a pass breakup or, you know, a couple good tackles or, you know, God forbid a pick, you know, that's a miracle at that point. But I mean, the last showing was definitely rough. I mean, hearing the stats, that's tough. But at this point, you just need people that are breathing and living and moving to be able to put out on the field.
Basically,
it's hard.
I would like to see Gilmore. I like what Darcy said, though. He said, wish we still had Starling Thomas. But here's the thing. We have Gilmore. We have the other kid. What's the other kid's name? God dang it. Drawing a blank right now.
Chase Lucas?
We have the Khalil Dorsey. Give them shot. Give them a shot.
Chase Lucas coming back too, isn't he?
Yeah, Chase Lucas probably coming back, yeah. Darcy said we should have kept Julian Okwara, but, you know, Julian Okwara didn't do nothing either. So, I mean, they need pass rush right now, and none of those defensive ends. As far as I'm concerned, Tyler, I know this is getting a little bit out of the Tampa Bay Lions and everything. As far as I'm concerned, the whole defensive line can go to hell. Besides Hutchins, Salim McNeil. Like every one of those guys, they should be fighting for their effing job next year. It's been a god dang embarrassment to see these guys being absolute ass. Like you got Aiden Hutchinson over here, who's got what the most pressures in the NFL, and no one else could clean up the clock. Like what is going on, dude?
Yeah,
He's saying Darcy's saying we kept Julian over Starling, and I agree with that. But at the time, I think they thought that Julian could get out of his funk or whatever, like they did with Harris, like they did with his older brother Romeo. Like they thought Kaminsky was going to be good, which Kaminsky has been a great tackler for this defense. But besides that, whole defensive line, bye bye.
Well, it's so strange because like you think with like if you try, you keep bringing guys on, you keep drafting guys that like you eventually you'll strike, and it's just been tough. Like we literally like Charles Harris can fuck off, Romeo Okwara can go, freaking Levi can go. I still do have faith in Josh Pascal. Like the flashes
Pascal,
are there.
No, Pascal's been pretty damn good. His statistics have been pretty damn
good. But like most of those guys can seriously like go away, and that's why I keep talking about. And we'll get into this a ton in the offseason, but I think this next. Going to be heavy trenches again. We're going to be looking at a lot of defensive linemen and, you know, hopefully maybe, a guard and a corner because obviously there's holes on this team. But you know what? We're ahead of schedule, man. The fact that we made the play, won the division, we wanted to go to the playoffs, we wanted to win the division. Yep. And once we saw that those were realistic, we wanted to win one playoff game. I'm not saying we didn't want to win more, but like that's the goal. Like, dude, can we please – God, win one playoff game off our freaking back. We did that. The rest is extra, man. We're right on schedule. We're ahead of schedule. And, you know, as long as we continue to build, as long as we continue to do this, we should be able to be a powerful juggernaut in 4 years to come. But, you know, we got the monkey off our back. We got the playoff W. Luckily, the cards fell right, and we get the Bucks next week. So we might mess around and get two playoff W's. And you might as well build the freaking Jared Goff statue at that point. Holy shit. He's getting an extension, whether you like it or not.
Well, that's the thing I wanted to ask you, Tyler, because we're kind of going to go a little bit longer than we usually do. But Jared Goff, you have to pay him. Like you just have to pay him. Like I don't care what I know people have this infinite opinion that like this guy, you know, we can't pay this guy because we need to. Guys, I'm going to tell you this right now. You got to pay the man. Like my cousin says in the comments, pay the man. We got to pay the guy. Why do we got to pay the guy? Why do we have to pay? Now, I know Tyler was once a Jared Goff Devon, but here's what I'm going to say. I didn't like Jared Goff when he came in here. I didn't think he was a good quarterback. But as we're seeing what he's been able to do, he's the quarterback that has helped you win 12 games. He won a playoff game. He's doing everything that you need him to do. He's doing a fantastic job. Now, I know that he has limitations to his game, and I'm going to tell you this right now. There are 28 other quarterbacks 28 quarterbacks in the league, they have limitations. I'm sorry to say that to you. If you think that there's a quarterback that doesn't have limitations, you're talking about Allen and Mahomes. That's it. That is it. And you can add Burrow in there if you want, but Burrow, he holds onto the ball way too much. It's statistically, no. You want to add Herbert in there? No. You want to add Hurts in there? No. And if these damn Cowboy fans want to add Dak Prescott in there, I'm going to throw a chair at him. No. Jared Goff has been damn good. And I don't care if you got to pay him 45, you got to pay him 50, whatever. Dude, pay the guy. You could structure the contract a different way. You could, you know, I know you got to pay Sewell and St. Brown. I get that. But you got cap guys for a reason. Mm-hmm. And do it the right way. And I think that Brad Holmes is going to be like, look, these quarterbacks coming out of college. I mean, Trevor Lawrence was dabbed as like a generational quarterback. Is he really a generational quarterback? Because I see him as a quarterback that's ass. He's ass.
I still think he has potential, but he's not like he's been mind blowing. He's been pretty average. Here's the thing, dude. It's kind of crazy. Like with the NFL, like,
hold up.
Go ahead.
And my cousin brings up a good point before I kind of get off this, and I'll let you go. He says not only it shows we value our players. I'm going to tell you this right now. For all the people in the back that think that if you don't pay Jared Goff, it won't have an effect on this team long term. Because what it will tell people, especially in free agency, especially your players on the roster, that no matter what you do, playing at a high level, you're not good enough. And that will tick people off. And if you've seen the video that we posted on the Detroit Lions News podcast page. If you've seen the video of them chanting Jared Goff when he came in the locker room, guys, the team absolutely loves the guy. You cannot get rid of that, period.
Yeah. And what I was going to kind of say and allude to as well is that, like, that's what's kind of new about the longer you wait. Like, I'm sure you guys all heard the expression, yesterday's price is not today's price. Dude, Jared Goff goes out and somehow, I'm not saying this is in the cards this year, but this dude comes out and wins the Super Bowl for Detroit. Yeah, the price is going up, and it's going up a lot.
Now, my cousin in the comments, you know, he likes his trucks, right? He likes his trucks. He goes out the one day and there's five trucks on a lot, right? And he goes out there and he goes, I'll wait till next week. Then he comes back next week and there's one truck on the lot. Guess what you're doing? It's a bidding war, baby. You're paying top dollar. You're paying top dollar. Yep. That's exactly what this Jared Goff thing is. The longer you wait, if you wait, let's say you waited till next year. Let's say he wins 12 games again. Let's say he wins 12 games again. You're paying him 45. You're paying him 50. You might be paying him 55 at that point. Because whenever Dak Prescott gets his deal, I'm telling you right now, that's going to be the kind of bar. And I see Kenna says now they don't need to give him 40 mil. Dude, I'm going to tell you this right now.
Yeah.
That's the bottom layer.
Yeah, that's like, minimum. Look at Daniel Jones's deal.
Look at Kyler Murray's deal. Look at Russell Wilson's deal. That's just the way it goes. And if you got a good quarterback, you have to pay for your quarterback, period. Unless you want Derek Carr as your quarterback. And I can tell you right now, no, you don't want Derek Carr as your quarterback. No,
and if
you, I know. Yeah, go.
I was going to say, if you think that Jared Goff is not better than Russell Wilson or James or freaking, you know, has, I mean, Kyler, I see the upside in the athleticism, but he hasn't put a full season on paper together worth that kind of damn money. If you don't think that, I mean, Jared Goff is better than all those guys who got these ridiculous contracts. You know, if you, like I said, the Daniel Jones and the Deshaun Watson deals, it screwed the owners up and it screwed the rest of the league up and it screwed up the salary cap and it really fricked the quarterback market up. I get that. But now we're between a rock and a hard place because, you know what? I remember when Jared Goff got his last deal, he was the highest paid quarterback in the league. And everyone went, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Why would you pay Jared, blah, blah, blah. Dude, four seasons later, you're looking at him on the Lions going, damn, he's only making $32 million. Like, you know.
Right.
So that's how it goes, bro. I mean, that's just how it goes. And, like, you have to lock something in now because, like you said, you don't want to be stuck in a position where you're like, shit, if I don't pay this guy $55 million, then he's going to go somewhere who they will, you know? So you kind of read later. If he goes in next year, wins 12 games, wins, goes to another, assuming we beat the Bucks, goes to back-to-back NFC championship games, you know, say something crazy like that.
You can't talk out.
Yeah, dude, you're like, now you're really stuck because it's like, oh, shit, Dak got his deal, and Mahomes restructured his deal, and, you know, whatever, whoever next upcoming quarterback that's ready for a deal, you know, gets his deal. Now all of a sudden you're like, shit, the quarterback market's been reset three, and we should have just locked it in while we had the chance.
And I think Brad Holmes is going to do that. I think Brad Holmes knows that you really can't waste time in terms of not extending him. And the longer you wait, and I know people have this pipe dream of Hendon Hooker. It's a pipe dream. Go look at the hit rates of quarterbacks after the third round. Third round and lower. It's horrible. That's just the way it is. Someone in the comments says, Ekena says, how old is Goff? Goff is 29 years old. So he's got a lot of tread on the tire.
Well, and I don't know how many, I don't know how big NFL fans all you guys are, but if you look statistically at like Rodgers, Manning, a lot of these like Marino, a lot of these quarterbacks, like most of them didn't win their first like big game or their first like MVP or their first championship till they were 30 years old or older. So for quarterbacks, the prime is between like 30 and 35 because they process the game long enough. Like Goff is now entering his prime.
Yep.
So, you know, you're going to have to pay for a quarterback in his prime, and especially a now divisional winning quarterback and possibly a quarterback that's going to be in the NFC champion for the Bucks next week. Like it's a guy that's got merit behind his name and behind his stats. And so, you know, you're going to have to pay up, and that's just what it is.
I'm sure that the 49ers are going, man, we can't pay Brock Purdy. But then they realize we went after Trey Lance and that sucked ass. We went after Jimmy Garoppolo. Right. That sucked ass. Kent Fisher says, I would offer Goff 4 years, $190-$200 million. This is a great comment here, because if he does 190, that's still 47.5. So that's perfect. If you go a little bit more, I mean, you're going to get into the higher tier, but I don't think you're going to get in the higher tier. That's just my opinion. I don't think they're going to pay him more than Mahomes. He says, might want to stay in Detroit if he's happy, especially with the weapons that help create his statistics and offensive line that has kept him off his ass most of the season. And one of the things that the statistics bear out, Tyler, is Jared Goff, when he gets pressured, he's one of the lowest quarterbacks that the pressure turns into a sack. And the only two quarterbacks that are better than him, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. And I know it's shocking, because it was shocking to me. I read that shit and I was like, what? Like, this doesn't make any sense. But the fact of the matter is, I see him all the time. Like, he's evading pressure. Sometimes he'll get rid of the ball. He does the things that you need him to do. And that's what I look at a good quarterback. If a quarterback can, if I'm going to pay a quarterback, there's three or four things I need. The first thing is, I need, when pressure comes your way, do you get sacked? Because sacks kill drives. The second thing I need from you is intelligence. I need someone who's intelligent out there that can make the right reads at the line and the protections and do that, and then audible out if he needs to. Third thing is, I need accuracy. And one thing I could say about Jared Goff, he's not accurate downfield, but he is accurate with these medium to short throws. And those are what wins you a lot of games, as Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady would throw some deep, but he was like one of the lowest attempts to deep ball. I mean, look at the quarterback you're playing this weekend. You know his completion rate downfield is? Tyler, you got any guesses?
40%?
Oh my god. He is the worst in the league at 21.3%. He cannot complete. He's horrible downfield.
That was just a total shot in the dark.
Jared Goff is like 43.5 now. Granted, he's through less attempts downfield, but sure. when he does throw downfield, he connects. And Ken Fisher said 50%, and that was higher than yours. And my cousin, he must have been reading my notes, because it's 20%. It is 20%. It's funny though, because I look at Baker Mayfield and people are saying, oh, they reclamated their career. It's like, yeah, dude, if I had Mike Evans getting the ball. You know, this freakazoid at 6'4 and can run like a 5, you know, he run a 4'2, 40. Yeah, I'd be good too, dude. I could chuck the ball deep. The only one that couldn't work with Mike Evans was that numbnut psycho Jameis Winston. That was it.
And he still had 1,000 yards.
I am, but Jameis Winston just chucked it and ducked it. That's basically what he did.
But Goff is he and the thing about him too is like you said, the fans love him, the city loves him. Like like we talked about before, he has came in here as kind of a throwaway add on to that trade. Instead of bitching and crying and asking out, he really doubled down and he earned the love and respect and admiration of the team, yep, the coaches, the city, the fans, and you got to respect that a ton. And he is playing right now with an all-time high confidence. Even when they're chanting his name, when they're saying all this stuff about him in the post game, even when they're bragging him up and hyping him up, he stayed humble. He stayed, yep, you know, he stayed level. He gave credit to his guys and the coaches. Like he's really won the past year, you know, year and a half. He's really, really won me over. I think he's won over a majority of the fan base. He's won over the media. He's won over his teammates. Like he's exactly what we need to be the leader of this team. Because like you always say, it's much easier to get worse at quarterback than it is to get better. Yeah, man, he's just playing at an all-time high in confidence. You can tell when Jared Goff is playing with low confidence because he starts to crumble and he can have rough stretches. I mean, every player can, but when he is confident and he's happy and he is just feeling himself and he's in a groove, dude, it's definitely hard to find five other guys better than him in the league when he is hitting his stride. He is a damn good quarterback when he's in rhythm.
My cousin says he definitely won me over, and my cousin did not like Goff at the first part of the time when, but he didn't like Stafford either. And then he loved Stafford too. So, you know, he's kind of a results oriented person, if you can tell. The other receiver that scares me too is got a good one in Godwin. I hope this last game was a big confidence boost for Goff given all the drama. I think he's gonna come out ripping. Now there's one stat that I want to give you before we're gonna kind of wind down the podcast right now, but this is a stat I want to show you, Tyler. So Tampa Bay's defense on the road, 26th in completion percentage, 26th in yards per attempt, 29th in total QBR. That's how low they are. The Detroit Lions offense at home is 4th in completion percentage, yards per attempt 6, total QBR 6. Right here, that's the reason that the Lions are going to win this game on Sunday, because Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to come into a hornet's nest. I don't care what anybody says. I know Ken was talking about, you know, Godwin and all that stuff. The fans have had a huge factor on this team. Huge factor. There's no denying that. Absolutely. Coming into Ford Field, it's going to become one of the hardest places to play in the NFL, guaranteed. And you know, Tampa Bay struggled on the road. Yeah, its stats bear it out. You know, the stats bear it out. I just missed it. That's the stats, and stats tell a lot. That's basically what you need to know. You know, I know this defense looks good. I know this defense looks good on paper for the Bucs. But let's not forget who they play and what they play in. They play in the NFC South, and there is no quarterback in that division that scares the hell out of me, and not even tiny Bryce Young that needs like a step stool to wash it, you know, brush his teeth. It's just a total disaster. But that's what I look at, Tyler. Like, this is not rocket science. It's right there, and that's what you need to know.
Yeah, I feel you, man. I'm ready to roll.
So this was the injury report today. Khalif Raymond, no practice. It doesn't look like he's going to play this week, but that's all right. Sam Laporta was limited today. That's all right. But everyone else was at full practice, and that's great to see because you're getting healthy at the right time. That's all you could ask for. There's a couple comments in the comment section that we're going to get to. Goff hitting Reynolds. It says Reynolds, but it's Reynolds. It's probably one of those autocorrect. It says early in that game against the Rams was a confidence booster. Absolutely. Cousin says that that whole team is 100% behind him. Roy says, according to the analysts, there are 5 QBs better left in the playoffs. I seen that. Let me just say this for you, okay?
It wasn't not analyst. It was one analyst, Dan Orlovsky.
It was one analyst. It was one analyst that looked like a dweeb, a guy who never played football in his entire effing life. This guy, I should have brought a picture of this guy, because this guy looks like the aptitude of a guy who drives an EV and talks and gets Starbucks all the time with oat milk. Like,
it was Dan Orlovsky had his list up too, and he did not have Goff on it. But let's not forget that guy ran out of the back of his own end zone.
I'm gonna say this with all due respect to Dan Orlovsky, because you know he's a pretty good analyst for the most part. He's been awful lately. I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know if he's
trying to be Max type. Some hot takes, bro.
Well, I mean, when you work at ESPN, you got to kind of keep things up to you know the level of dumbassery that you see at ESPN.
Right.
You know, that my cousin says that place is going to explode. Yes, I'm going to have no voice. So yeah, that'll be fun. There's a reason why the odds maker give the Lions a 6.5 point spread again.
Hammer the shit out of that.
Oh yeah, I'm going to hammer the shit out of that. Football gods, please give me Detroit versus Green Bay at Ford Field for the NFC title game. How fucking electric would that be? Just amazing to think about that and to get their vengeance for a Thanksgiving game. Roy says it was Orlovsky. And guess what? Orlovsky can go to hell too, because guess what he did? He ran out the back of the end zone. I don't take any credit from that guy. Like, get the hell out of here. Like, again, he works for ESPN, and ESPN has to keep up with this model of having total dumbasses say dumbass shit, because that's why Stephen A. Smith has been employed for decades at ESPN. We move on. Dan shouldn't be allowed to critique any quarterback ever. That's what I'm saying. If you ran out of the back of the end zone, if you work at ESPN, you're objected to say like three dumbass things a week. That's just my opinion. Now the only one that gets me like I want to watch him and I want to see what he says is Ryan Clark. That is it.
I just don't understand how Baker is more dangerous than Goff in the playoffs. It's just outrageous. Like,
I'm gonna tell you this, Tyler. There's no statistic on God's green earth that says that. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what you're looking at. Like, again, like Tampa Bay blitzes the hell out of quarterbacks. Guess what? Jared Goff is. He's good against the blitz. Guess what? All these teams do and left in the NFC, they blitz the hell out of the quarterback. Like. That's just it lacks any merit, and I just don't even know.
Well, it's weird because Dan picked the Rams to beat the Lions too, and it's like, dude, are you I thought you were a Lions supporter, or are you like, what the hell's going on here?
No, you know what that was. That was
everybody had to pick the Rams so that after it could be like the experts were all wrong, the Lions won.
No, you know why Dan Orlovsky picked the Rams?
Stafford.
You know what? Oh. Yeah, he loves Stafford. You know, he would slurp up that stuff like nothing else. So good. So good. Like, that's what Dan Orlovsky was. I mean, how do you think he was a backup in the league? I don't know. Like, whatever. Dan Orlovsky, whatever. You know, he works for ESPN. That just tells you everything you need to know. Ken Fisher said Thunder with Montgomery, Lightning with the Gibbs, and a Sunshine with the Sun God, Amara St. Brown will be the weather forecast at Ford Dome this weekend. Yep.
Hey, did you see that reporter asked Todd Bowles if he was going to be ready for cold weather in Detroit?
And you know what it turned into? You know what it turned into? It turned into people saying that people were harping on her because she was a woman. Now, I don't care if you're a woman. I don't care if you're a guy. I don't care if you identify as whatever you identify. When you ask a question as stupid as that, you deserve all the ridicule you can get, because your number one job as a reporter or a journalist or any of that is to do research. And guess what you didn't do? All you had to do was type into Google or Alexa or Siri. I know everyone has an iPhone, basically. Siri, where do the Lions play? And you know what Siri's going to say? What is Siri going to say? Siri, where do the Lions play? Oh, she said, I'm sorry. He did this dumb bitch. Siri, where do the Lions play? So that's Ford Field. Ford Field in Detroit, an indoor facility. Theory. That's all you had to say. That's all you had to say.
The funny thing is like, they even before Ford Field, we played in the Silver Dome. So the Lions have played in a dome for like years.
The last time they played in the outdoors was at Briggs Field. And that's not even around anymore, man. Like, that's the best part about it. That was the last time they played in Detroit. Was at Briggs Stadium, which was the home of the Tigers for years. And then this chick goes, are you going to have to adapt to the elements? That, you know, that's one of the most stupid things I've ever heard. That's almost as bad as the question that Nick Saban got asked about the solar eclipse. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Where he's like, Nick, are you going to let your team look at the solar eclipse? And he's like, bro, I got games to win, dude. Like,
yeah, whatever. I'm not worried.
Now, Ken corrects me. He says, I actually believe it was Tiger Stadium at the time they last played. It could have been. I know it was Briggs Stadium for a while. That was so far long ago. Like, I don't know. It's like, it's, you can call it Briggs. You can call it Tiger Stadium. I don't know. These, whatever. Hey, fast forward like 60 years. They're still in an indoor stadium.
But yeah, right, man, this should be a doozy, brother. I'm ready to whoop some Buccaneers' ass, man.
I think they're gonna do that, and I know people are scared. And you know, we can get in our.
I think it's just box. Because it's like we don't want the luck to run out. Like a lot of people that feel that way, because it's like this is such a big game. Just wait, you don't want to get stunned by some bullshit.
Ken gives us a history lesson. He goes, "I'm 64, and let's talk in my old person voice. I am 64." And I remember Bill Munson and Greg Landry playing at Tiger Stadium back with Mickey Lolich and Denny McClain playing for the Tigers. No, that was a Southern accent. But what I'm saying is,
if you're older, you automatically get Southern.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Now Ken laughs about it. But like, look, that's how long ago it was. Mickey Lolich and Danny McClain. Like, what? Man, that was so long ago. Like. Even Ken's probably like, what a dumb question from the dumb. What a dumb question. Just dumb. All right, now give me your closing thoughts, Taylor.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, what can you really say as closing thoughts anymore with when the season's at the point where it's at? You know, go and get a freaking another win, see championship. You know, like I said, we need to make our adjustments. We need to make sure we're not coming out flat. And let's just go out there and play some ball. Let's be free. Let's have some fun. And anything extra, any on out is extra, man, because we got the monkey off our back. We did what we needed to do, but let's go out there and let's get a couple more done. If we win next week, which we should this week, and, you know, we get a chance and we get a crack at the NFC Championship, one game away from playing in the big game again, man. And I am not overly worried about any team in the AFC except probably the Ravens. I mean, the Bills and the Chiefs are always liable to like blow up for like a lot of offense. So, but you know, we beat the Chiefs earlier this year, and the Bills have kind of come on as of late, but they're definitely beatable. So, you know, let's go in there, let's get a couple more dubs, and let's make something special happen. Regardless, this will be a special. This will be a year that everybody views as a turnaround year for the Lions. And so, you know, let's just ride this momentum and see what we can, you know, see what we can do, man. So let's go out there and whoop some Buccaneers ass on Sunday and NFC Championship. But, you know, let's not let this game trap us in any way. Let's really go in there, take care of business, put your freaking foot on their necks, foot on the gas, whoop some ass. And, we'll get ready for that NFC Championship title. Pray and cross your fingers that Kyle Shanahan does his Kyle Shanahan playoff things and maybe does it a game or two early, and we let the Packers, you know, beat them. And let's get sweet revenge in the NFC Championship Ford freaking field and get our ass to the Super Bowl game. How freaking sweet would that be, huh?
All right. So my closing thoughts are simple. I want every Lions fan to stop acting like they are, like, a total bitch. And I say that with all due certainty because I feel like there's a lot of Lions fans. Like, I heard Walter yesterday, I heard Deshante. They're not bitches, but I'm saying there's a lot of the fan base that's going, oh my God, we are playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's going to be hard, guys. I know his fan base isn't used to playoff football. I mean, let's just be honest, it has been years. But the reality of the situation is this. When you play in the playoffs, you don't see 6.5-point spreads. And Vegas is not giving you a charity line. They're not like, hey, you want to make some money? 6.5-point spread. They ain't saying that. They would have moved that. They would have moved that boy like to 5.5, 4.5, 3.5. But no, it stayed at 6.5. You want to know why? Because Vegas knows what I know, and Vegas knows a majority of things. Because the last game, they were totally on par with the spread. They were totally on par with the spread. It was +3. So if you had took the Rams, you would have won that. But again, Vegas doesn't play, and a majority of the bets last week were, it was 95% was on the Rams, and you always go with the sharp bettors. And you know where the sharp bettors are going this week? Lions, the spread, Lions, money lines, Lions. Like, you just gotta play it safe. And I know a lot of these Lions fans are scared or whatever. You got a good team, and like I said, they're coming to your place. You're not going back to their place. And their stupid half-ass pirate ship, they're coming to Ford Field where it's welcome to the jungle time. And like I said, going to the Lions game, so I'm all hyped up on Mountain Dew and I'm gonna kick Chip's ass. But here's the thing. I'm not gonna have a voice, so I might not do the podcast after it, but I might do the podcast just to show how much I've worked for that win, because they're gonna go over there and they're gonna beat the hell out of the Buccaneers. They're gonna run the ball on them. They're gonna shove Baker Mayfield into a garbage can, like he was at what's that one guy? He was on TikTok. He put himself in a garbage can at Ford Field. I would never do that because, God forbid, you don't know what's in those garbage cans at Ford Field. But whatever, it's some stupid TikTok trend, Tyler. My cousin says you wish. Watch out, Chip. Watch now. The last part of my thing is this. I know a lot of people are scared. It's fine. That's fine. But you just got to remember this team, they won 12 games. You know, they played in if you look at this division, I mean, there's two teams in this division that are still alive. This division is not tough. This division is not like the soft pansy-ass schedule. It's pretty tough. That shows you it's tough. So the fact of the matter is this. You've earned your spot here. You've earned your spot here. You beat the Kansas City Chiefs. You beat the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau. You know, you've beat teams that you were supposed to beat. You beat the Buccaneers once. You could do it again. Ben Johnson can't lose this game. That's the one thing I can say. You have to mime the podcast. Don't think about that.
It'll be a lot of that.
Yeah, if we had GIFs, we would be totally on board. Like, this is unbelievable. Now, this is the end of the podcast. Thank you guys for watching. Go listen to it. If you missed part of the podcast, which we did a spur of the moment kind of, there's a lot of shit going on, so that's what happened. But here's the part about it. You can go on Apple, you can go on Spotify, you can go on Odyssey, where 97.1 The Ticket is, and listen to the damn podcast, and then you will hear me and Tyler in full, you know, complete podcast, so you didn't miss anything. And tomorrow, I'm going to be releasing a video, probably, I'll be releasing a video, probably doing a game preview for the offense, Saturday for the defense, and then Sunday morning, I'll probably do like a quick one, but I don't know if I will. But we're gonna see you guys in the next podcast. Hopefully, it's after a win. And Tyler, tell people bye. I'm gonna tell you bye. I'm hungry.
Yes, sir. I'll see you guys. We got a Lions W next time we talk, and I'm hoping so. And good luck to everybody. You know, be safe. Have some fun. Drink plenty of beer, but don't drink and drive. So be safe. And let's get this freaking celebrate.
Look, if you're smart, you can wear off your buzz just acting like an asshole. So you're good there. So we'll see you guys in the next podcast. I'm Joe Chapp. He's Tyler. We will see you guys in the next Detroit Lions News podcast as we talk more Detroit Lions football all year round.